Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Okay, Kevin, for the grand prize of $1 million, what color is the White House?
I know this.
5 seconds.
Oh, switching to Geico could save you a bunch of money on car insurance?
Okay. Judges? That's true, Kevin. They'll allow it. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Woo! Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Locked On Cavaliers. As always, I'm your host, Chris Manning from Fear the Sword and the Step Back. I'm just going to do a quick little recap of the Cavs' win over the Indiana Pacers. The Cavs get the win. They're fifth in a row. They're third on a road trip that they wrap up tomorrow in Oklahoma City, or tonight in Oklahoma City, rather, if you're listening to this on Thursday. The Cavs win this game 132-117. LeBron James, 25 points, 6 boards, 9 assists. Kyrie Irving, 29 points, 7 assists, 2 steals. And he did that without hitting a single 3. It was also 5 of 5 from the line. And then off the bench, Kyle Korver in maybe his most explosive game to date. 29 points, a plus 13 off the bench. 8 of 9 from 3, 10 of 12 overall from the field. Kevin Love, you know, struggled a little bit, but still 14 and 10. And 1-7 from 3 for the Pacers. CJ Miles, the ex-Cav, leads the way for them with 23 points, including 6 of 9 from 3. Paul George adds 22. Jeff Teague adds 22. Miles Turner adds 16 and 7. With Monta Ellis doing some nice work off the bench with 13 points. Cavs get this, again, win this game, are now 36-15 on the season. The Pacers fall to 29-23. Snaps a 7-game winning streak for the Pacers. And a fun stat that the Cavs broadcast brought up at the end of the game: the Cavs are the first team in NBA history. Yes, NBA history. So just take that. It's crazy as it sort of sounds, to beat two teams that were on 7-game win streaks in back-to-back games. That's just an absurd kind of random thing. It doesn't, you know, indicate obviously anything more than what it is, but they're the To clarify that further, they are the first team in NBA history to win back-to-back road games against teams that were both that were respectively on 7-game win streaks. That's bananas. That's a random sort of trivial thing, but you can add that to the Cavs' list of accomplishments for this year. To kind of look at what stood out from this game, takeaway number one is the Cavs overcame a very slow start. You have DeAndre Ligon starting in place of Amon Shumpert, who obviously missed tonight with an ankle injury and is not going to play Thursday due to an ankle injury as well. CJ Miles comes out hot, hits 3 threes, and the Cavs kind of just look like they're going to go through a bit of a funk in this game. Looks like it wasn't going to be a game where the Cavs are really going to put forth the best version of themselves. At one point, the Pacers are up 15. They go on a 21-6 run towards the end of the first quarter. And the Pacers really came out hot in that first quarter. 61% from the field as the Cavs really struggled to get going. They're only 14.3% from three in that quarter, the Cavs. Shoot okay overall, but the Pacers, I think, just shot the ball really well in that first quarter. And the Cavs' defense was sort of problematic. To be honest with you, when I saw that first quarter, I kind of was like, okay, this is going to be one of those nights where the Cavs, who have historically struggled in Indiana and have historically struggled to win certain games, to kind of just think of it that way, when they've played a lot of minutes and stuff like that, that this is sort of a game where I thought they might just lose, especially because we just weren't sure about Thursday. So Cavs, again, overcame a really, really bad first quarter to figure that out. And this is why they overcame that third quarter. The Cavs won this game because of their three-point shooting. The defense, I mean, you give up 117 points, it's your defense cannot be good in a game if you give up 117 points. Those are just facts. I mean, a lot of that came in the first half and all that stuff, but if you look at this game, the Cavs won this game because of their three-point shooting, because of their offense. After that first quarter, the Cavs went 15 of 28 from three. That includes a junk three that I think James Jones may have taken. I'm not sure who took it near the end of the game as they just had to get up a shot as the game was already solidified once everybody was out. But you saw this team just get blistering hot from three. And it's sort of crazy that this happened, because if you look at the guys you would have expected this to happen with, it was not your normal suspects. Kevin Love, again, 1 of 7 from 3 in this game. Good game overall, in pretty much every other way, but 1 of 7. Kyrie Irving, 0 of 5. Kyrie Irving comes into this game as a pretty good 3-point shooter on the year, a knockdown 3-point shooter in a lot of ways, and did his best work tonight, on Wednesday, kind of doing a lot of different stuff that wasn't 3-point shooting. He comes into this game shooting 38% from three, hitting almost 2.5 a game, which is be the highest rate of his career on a per game basis. So kind of take that for what it is, that he does this and the Cavs still are that good from three. Channing Frye, only 1 of 3. Richard Jefferson, 1 of 3. The guys who shot well in this game from three, well, LeBron had a pull-up three for his 1-3. Liggins did hit a corner three, but it was Kyle Korver hitting 8 threes on his own, kind of the Pacers abandoning him and him just literally splashing on them, hitting threes late in the fourth quarter to kind of seal this game that I thought was just really impressive. You saw Korver just sort of play the best we've seen him play. Yes, he had his issues on defense. Yes, he sort of is that one trickish pony, but this is a guy who is taking advantage of the looks that Kyrie and that LeBron James created for him. You saw LeBron at times drive and just flip it out to Korver and he would get an open three. There was a sequence where Kyrie drove, hit LeBron in a pick and roll situation, and LeBron just whipped it back out to Korver, who was just wide open near the top of the key. An absolutely great performance from him, just taking advantage of those opportunities, and that is what the Cleveland Cavaliers brought him in to do. The Cavaliers did not bring Kyle Korver in to defend. They did not bring him in to create. They brought Kyle Korver in to just splash threes. They brought him in to just be this guy to hit threes every night. And, you know, he's not necessarily going to hit 8 out of 9 threes every night. We've seen him struggle so far. We have seen him have his issues. I mean, that, and he's not going to be that crazy every night. But so far with the Cavs, coming into last night, this is the guy who on 5.3 attempts per game was making 43.2% of his threes. That would be his best percentage since he was an all-star when he was shooting almost 50% in 2014-15. Has it been a perfect smooth fit? No, but you're seeing a guy who is going to get as close as he can get to that level of being Kyle Korver from a couple years ago because of who he's playing with, and you're seeing full advantage. You are seeing him play that way, and tonight, if you want to just chalk it up to what Korver can do, tonight is that night. And also, shout out to Jordan McRae, who plays 14 minutes, who really did most of his work in the second quarter, hits 2 threes, took advantage of some minutes, I thought actually provided the nice little spark off the bench, more than a Kay Felder, and did some nice work. And I mean, the Cavs also did some really nice work on the free throw line tonight. I mean, it cannot be understated how key for them it was to go 24 of 26 from the line. Jefferson 4 of 4 off the bench. Korver gets his 1 of 1. LeBron James, perhaps most importantly, is 6 of 8 from the line in this game. He's had the team's only 2 misses, but he wasn't 4 of 8. He wasn't anything like that, and that was big because the Cavs did find themselves in the bonus quite a bit in this game. They found themselves in situations where They really just needed to hit some free throws, and I do think they took full advantage. The other takeaway was a little bit of a negative one. A lot went well, and you win, but I think one thing to note here is that we did see sort of reoccurring things with the Cavs pop up here. Just defensively and effort-wise, I think you saw some things that are sort of indicative of where the Cavs are at the moment. The Pacers, yes, hit just a bunch of absurd open shots in that first quarter, and the Cavs weren't, you know, pressing, and the Pacers were really just on fire during an opening period. But you also saw Indiana blitz the Cavs a lot. You saw the Pacers find success by getting into lane and creating chaos and forcing the Cavs to pick between two bad options. When the Pacers often stalled out in the second half, it was because they weren't getting that same type of penetration consistently. They weren't attacking quite as much. That's kind of my read on that game. I mean, you didn't see quite as much Jeff Teague getting into the lane. You didn't see quite as much them creating looks for CJ Miles off Chris. You saw Paul George take some more jumpers. This wasn't a team that was attacking the Cavs in a way that I think is most functional. And they also weren't quite as much capitalizing in transition. I thought in the first quarter, the Pacers did a really, really nice job of really pushing the pace, because we know how much the Cavs do struggle with their transition defense, and really forcing the Cavs onto their heels and getting them into bad spots. I thought as the game went on, they didn't necessarily get away from that, but they didn't necessarily make it as much of a priority, and it showed. I think you saw them have those issues. You saw them struggle to maximize those transition baskets, and again, those opportunities were there. I mean, Kyrie Irving, to look at two issues he had in the second half, in the fourth quarter, the Cavs are up by a lot, so it didn't quite matter as much, but at the 4:30 mark, you can go back and look, he gets cooked by Teague, who scores. On the next Pacers possession, Kyrie kind of takes a bad angle again, a bad stance. He gets fouled in transition, and you could have avoided some of these things and made it harder on the Pacers to do that. And yes, does that matter right now? Does it matter because it's February and because the All-Star break coming and there's still all this time really left in the regular season before the playoffs come? You can argue that. I think you just need to know that if the Cavs are going to play defense like that in the playoffs, the margin for error is just a lot smaller. And can you get by in that again in the first round if you're playing whatever crappy East team? For sure, probably get by there. Can you probably beat a team like the Pacers in the second round in a 7-game series if you're playing like that? Sure, you might even be able to get out of the East against a Boston team that plays really well, or the Wizards or something like that. But I think those are issues you need to watch if you're playing a Golden State or San Antonio in the finals. I think the Cavs kind of have some issues for there. And if you want to look at some of the tape and look at some video proof examples of reasons and ways the Cavs struggle in transition, with Kyrie and Kevin Love and other guys being sort of examples of that, tonight is a prime example, I think, of what you kind of want to look at. So, to kind of wrap this game up, I think the player of the game has to be Kyle Korver. Kyle Korver comes off the bench, hits all those threes, and yes, Kyrie had an absurd third quarter. Kyrie Irving played really well. LeBron James was great. I thought Kevin Love had a really good second half. There's a lot of praise to be had in this Cavs win, and LeBron playing in itself is pretty important. And you know, Kyrie Irving had this incredible and one in the third quarter that is probably the highlight of the night, and he really pushed. The third quarter, he had 16 points in the first half and kind of helped the Cavs keep in. And as the Cavs outscored the Pacers 40-18 in that third quarter, Kyrie had this and one that was just bananas. But Kyle Korver was just deadly when the Cavs asked him to be. He was really a big part of them just burying the Pacers. And I think because this is a season 9 points, because this is the best we've seen him in a Cavs uniform, I think he deserves the player of the game. Kyrie's and one from the third quarter, which you can, you know, find a clip of that pretty much everywhere online. That for me would be the play of the night without question. And the Cavs get another win again. This breaks another team's winning streak. It gets them a win in a place that they have historically struggled to win. The Cavs dating back to when Kyrie and Tristan Thompson were coming into the league, have really struggled to win in Indiana. This is a good sign. The Cavs are three games up in the East. They're in a good spot as we get closer and closer to the All-Star break. And to look ahead just a bit here, the Cavs do have a back-to-back now on Thursday. They do have a game against Oklahoma City. They're going to travel. And I think, based on what we've heard so far, I don't think you're going to see the big three play on Thursday. This makes this game a lot less interesting. It means you're going to see a lot of Kay Felder. It means you're going to see some James Jones. It means you're going to see some Jordan McRae. It's possible any of the guys on the roster could get a start in this game. And you're going to see them play big minutes, and you're probably going to see the Cavs get sort of beat down. And it sucks because, you know, this is a TNT game. The Cavs, I mean, that's a little bit on the NBA for putting this on TNT and give the star power and stuff, and it sucks for the Oklahoma City fans, and I empathize with them if the big three, or, you know, even just one of them doesn't play, especially if it's LeBron James, but I can totally understand the Cavs resting. I really, really think it makes sense for the Cavs to rest guys, because we see the minute totals for these guys night in and night out, and they're sort of bobbing. Like LeBron James, again, 38 minutes in this game. Kyrie Irving, 34. Kevin Love, 35. Tristan Thompson, 35, although I would expect him to play on Thursday against the Thunder. But to quote directly Tyronn Lue, he says, it's a good possibility, quote unquote, that James, Irving, and Love would all sit on Thursday. The Cavs, again, winners of four straight, 6-7, but third game in four nights, a brutal game on Monday, an exhausting overtime win, and you get another kind of high-octane game on Wednesday. I think it makes sense to rest them. And Lou did say, quote, when we're playing good like this, guys might want to play, so we'll see how they feel. So it's not entirely a guarantee that they don't play. LeBron certainly could play tomorrow and push to play, but it would make some sense to play. And again, if the Cavs rest everybody for Thursday against the Thunder, they would have eight available players due to just the roster construction at the moment. No Monchampert, be without four starters. The Thunder haven't played since Monday. You're basically asking for a forfeit. You're basically asking the Cavs to just kind of throw in the loss there because it doesn't matter, and that makes sense, to be honest with you. If they're going to do that, you might as well just do it, and it sucks because it'll be a national televised game. Charles Barkley will probably have something to say about LeBron resting because it's a TNT game, and that'll be fine. We'll get something out of that. We'll see where that goes. But if that happens, as a programming note, we'll still have a show on Friday. I'm going to record something tomorrow that is a little bit timeless, a little bit more evergreen. Have some, I believe, Adam Maras from Locked On Nuggets and Denver Stiffs will be the guest. Potentially somebody else from Fear the Sword as well to kind of double up on some stuff. But we won't touch on that Thursday game. I will note the score. I will note the result, but we will not get into it like we did this game, or we typically do for Cavs games. But if they do play, if LeBron plays and something happens, we'll get into that. But I would just look on Friday for a show. Look for another episode of Locked On Cavs, but don't look for a game recap. Look to Fear the Sword for your game recap coverage. Don't look here because we're not going to talk about a game where the Cavs are basically just saying, it doesn't matter, we're going to rest our guys. So that's going to be it for today's show. Again, get those mailbag questions in for next Monday's show. It'll be at Locked On Cavs on Twitter, lockedoncavs@gmail.com to submit them via email. I've already got a couple of really good ones. If I can get up to my goal every week is to try to get 7 good mailbag questions. I have 3 so far, so if I can get 4 more, that would be fantastic. Please, again, submit those to Locked On Cavs on Twitter or to lockedoncavs@gmail.com. Again, Cavs beat the Pacers with Kyle Korver scoring 29 points, a final score in Indiana of 132-117. The Cavs, again, make NBA history in this win by beating the first team ever to win back-to-back road games against teams that respectively had 7-game win streaks. This has been Chris Manning. It's been Locked On Cavs. Follow us on Twitter. Give us that 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Like us on Facebook. And again, submit those mailbag questions. We'll be back tomorrow, whether or not the Cavs decide to actually play all their guys, or if they give everyone a night off. No nights off for Locked On Cavs. We'll talk to you Friday.
Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.